Here's a number we believe is impressive, 5,000. That's how many submissions we've received over the last 2 years for the National Story Project with Paul Auster. We've reserved a spot for the National Story Project on the first Saturday of every month here on Weekend All Things Considered. And today, at least for now, we're saying farewell. Here's NPR's Jackie Lydon, who will be joined by Paul Auster.
Great ideas have many fathers and many mothers. This one, of course, had at least 5,000. All those of you who sent us your stories. I Thought My Father Was God, published this September, collected 179 of our listeners' stories. We're not sure what form the Story Project will take in the future. Several ideas are under discussion. But joining us now is Paul Auster. Well, Paul, this is it. Goes into hibernation now, I guess.
Yeah, like a big old bear. We're going to crawl into a cave and have a little nap, and maybe we'll be able to wake up eventually.
Maybe.
That would be nice.
Well, as this is our last show, I'm told we have some surprise callers. Now, these are surprise callers to myself as well. So, are you game for that? It's a parting gift from
Weekend
All Things
Considered. I'm a little scared. I have to tell you, this is really unrehearsed, everybody. And
okay.
I don't know what to expect right now.
Well, all right, caller number one, we are listening into the abyss. Hello.
Hello, this is the Brooklyn Muse calling. Do you recognize my voice, you guys?
She's not a surprise. She must be in some other part of the house. Hi, Siri. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine. Excited to give you guys a call.
We're listening to Siri Husvet, the novelist who is also Paul's wife, and she is indeed the Brooklyn Muse, the inspiration for this entire National Story Project. We're really glad you called.
Yes, I'm here, and I just want to go on the record and say that being a muse of the National Story Project is the easiest job I have ever had.
Well, it was Siri's idea. When Danny Swerdling asked me to become part of the show 2.5 years ago, he suggested that I contribute my own stories. That was the original idea, and I wasn't terribly interested in that. And when I got home that evening and told Siri about this odd proposal that I had gotten, she was the one who turned things on their head and said, look, you don't have to sit down and crank out stories for the radio. Get listeners to send in their own stories, their true stories about their lives, and if enough people contribute, something amazing might happen. And
well,
I think it has happened.
Siri, we're really glad that you were our surprise caller, and thank you so much from Weekend All Things Considered.
You're very welcome, and I'm signing off, guys. Bye-bye.
Well, now we have caller number two. Well, that was a surprise, wasn't it?
It was. It was. Very close to home, and yet a big surprise.
Okay, well, good. I like this. Mystery caller number two.
Hello, this is Bruce Drake. How are
you?
Oh,
hi, Bruce. I'm fine. How are you?
This is my first call into any NPR show.
And Bruce Drake, Vice President for News of National Public Radio, making his debut with us, Paul, on the National Story Project.
Well, Paul, I just wanted to say that the 10 or so years I've been at NPR, this has not only been one of my favorite things that's been on our air, but I say that not only as an editor, but as a listener. I love writing. I love short stories, and while these short stories aren't fiction, I mean, I think they share a lot of the same qualities that good fiction do, that stories that yield you up a gift, whether it's insight or a moment of resolution or just plain satisfaction at the end of hearing the story, and these segments always did that for me.
Yes, well, I'm glad you feel that way. For me, it was one of the greatest experiences of my life, going through 5,000 stories by 5,000 different people and putting them on the air. It was marvelous.
Bruce, thank you so much for calling.
Okay, Jackie, bye. Bye, Paul.
Bye.
Bruce Drake, Vice President for NPR News. Well, you know, that was a total surprise to me.
Certainly to me, too. I had no idea what to expect. I thought maybe it would be Barry Bonds or, I just didn't know.
Derek Jeter. Well, Paul, why don't we have a story now? The best of all possible moments is always having a story. You're going to read one called One Autumn Afternoon, and there's a little bit of a story to go with it.
Yes, I just wanted to preface this by saying that the author, Willa Parks Ward of Jacksonville, Florida, was someone I very much wanted to have with us at the reading we did at the Miami Book Fair on November 17th, just recently. But alas, Willa Parks Ward died recently, and it really took me by surprise. I don't think she was terribly old at all. I've tried to do the math, and she must have been about 70, 72, something like that. Her story is one of the most moving in the book, and it is, ironically enough, about death, and it's also about war. And I think it's very appropriate, and I wanted to share it with the listeners today. It's quite short. One autumn afternoon, and then she has a little explanatory paragraph in italics that precede the story. My brother was a member of the 82nd Airborne Division, which had trained near Columbus, Georgia. We knew that he had been in North Africa, but when we received the news of his death, we were told that he had been killed in France on August 21st, 1944. He was 19 years old. This is how I remember that afternoon when I learned of the terrible thing that had happened. I could never say that I had any intuition or foreboding about how that day would turn out. I walked into our house after the school bus had let me off at the end of our road, and I had no idea what was waiting for me. I remember that it was the best time of the year, one of those golden days, summer almost gone, fall coming on fast. The leaves on the trees were just beginning to turn color, getting ready for their vivid swan song before we moved on to the somber season ahead. It was 1944, and I was just beginning my sophomore year in high school. My mother and I were alone most of the time out in the country, in the old house that had been left to our family by my father's parents. Our few acres were in the midst of dairy farms in upstate New York. My father worked on the barge canal and could get home only on weekends, partly because of the distance involved, but also because of the strict gas rationing that was in effect. My brother, who had signed up to become a paratrooper immediately after graduating from high school, had been shipped overseas in March of that year. His letters to us were from North Africa, but they hinted that he would be moving on soon. As I walked into the house through the kitchen, there were signs of activity that had been interrupted. Wisps of steam rose from a big kettle on the cook stove, and a dish towel laid out on the table held empty canning jars lined up and waiting to be filled. Other tools of the trade, knives and ladles and funnels, were strewn about the kitchen. A box that held the red rubber rings used to seal the jars had been opened. Some of the rings had spilled out onto the table. It was as if all action in the room had been halted just an instant before. Why was everything so quiet? Where was my mother? She always met me in the kitchen when I came home. As I started through the house to look for her, I remember noticing a shaft of brilliant afternoon sun striking a basket of tomatoes. They glowed red. Our dining room was on the north side of the house and was always dark. In the gloom, I saw a creased yellow paper lying on the table, and in one terrible moment, everything became clear to me. Written on the paper were the most dreaded words of those wartime years. We regret to inform you.
That's a beautiful story.
It's so simple, and just the fact that Willa Parks Ward has died herself now makes the story doubly moving, doubly terrible. It's so cinematic, that paragraph of her walking into the kitchen and seeing the steam, the rubber rings, the light striking the tomatoes, and going to the dark part of the house. I'm very, very moved by this little piece of writing.
It was an amazing story.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody, to everyone who's listened to the stories, and particularly to everyone who has taken the time and trouble to sit down and write a story and send it in to me. I thank the people whose work has been read on the air, whose stories are in the book, but also the people whose work was not chosen. It was all valuable, all important, and I'm immensely grateful that people responded to the call.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Jackie.
For more on the National Story Project, go to our website, npr.org, and tune in tomorrow for another surprise. Listener Bill Helmenthaler of Springfield, Virginia, reads his story, The Last Hand. And for this evening, that's All Things Considered. The series producer for the National Story Project is Devar Ardalan. John Buckley edits, Steve Lichtai directs, and Walter Ray Watson produces with Annie Wu, Molly Peterson, Tracy Wall, and Alice Winkler. Kitty Isley is the senior editor. The technical director is Abdullah Rufus. Audio engineers include Paris Morgan, Greg Gavin, Paxton Laird, Stuart Grace, Neil Ellis, Sherry Marchevsky, and Daniel Shukin. Librarians include Betsy Gardner and Sally Robertson. The executive producer for Weekend News is Paul Brown, and I'm Lisa Simeone. Good evening from Weekend All Things Considered and NPR News.